Get your Bibles. Let's get started. Go to the book of Titus, chapter 2. I can't believe we are nearing the end of the Pauline epistles, but it's been how long? 4 years? Something like that. You know what? When I say we're going to have a series, people go, oh, no. Yes, I mean, these series today, they'll say, we're having a four-week series. I'm the four-week series. I couldn't get done with the introduction in a four-week series. So Titus chapter 2, last time we got together, and I'm going to do a little bit of reminder simply because you know, it's been a few weeks since we've been together. We're in chapter 2. He's been dealing with the things that become sound doctrine, verse 1. That doesn't mean they turn into sound doctrine. That means they become sound doctrine as that outfit becomes you, that hairdo becomes you. The Bible says adorning the grace of God. We're supposed to adorn it. We're to wear it. In Philippians, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying you need to work on it to make sure you stay saved. It has nothing to do with that. It says, what is saved? Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, get it out now. They've got to be able to see it. So that's what he's talking about. Then he goes in, these things, apparently these things, according to Paul, are things that look good. They're becoming to sound doctrine. And we went through the aged men. And then in verse 3, we went through the aged women. We were down in verse 5, and he said, well, back up to verse 4, it says that they may, still talking about the aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Once again, I, even though I said it, I feel like I need to repeat it because it's just, I don't mean to say it in a bad way as a slap in the face, but it's a slap in the face of what we think about ourselves. Here's a lady, and the older women are trying to teach her to love the husband. Well, I know how to love my husband. The Bible says you don't. Well, I know how to love my children. The Bible says you don't. You know what we have today? We have a generation of kids whose moms didn't love them. Now, they had a lot of emotion toward them, but they didn't love them. You love them, and you're going to have to clamp down on them a little bit. You're going to have to restrain them some. You have to teach them. Can I tell you the biggest thing you'll have to do if you love them? You have to be the example they need. I don't care what you say, all right? I think you ought to say right and teach right, but what you say doesn't speak nearly as loudly as what you are. Amen. Don't get quiet now. We'll park and preach, all right? But he said that. He said they're supposed to teach those young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Then in verse 5, we said to be discreet. Now, there's a list of them there. We're going to, and we left off. Actually, we finished with discreet. I want to give some. He said, what is discreet? And discreet is a discernment. It is being able to analyze a situation and know what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what is acceptable, what is unacceptable. And it deals with this. I've said for a long time, discreet says this. Discreet says, discreet deals with what is revealed. Whether that be with subject matter, what I'm saying, whether that be with, could I say this, with apparel. It's what's revealed. Discretion. That discreet says, who should know, or who should it be revealed to? When should it be revealed? What should be revealed, and how should it be revealed? You take those, and you got a good head start on discretion. And we live in a very indiscreet society. I mean, awful. Okay, let me finish off. And I know we finished with it, but I'm going to give you a few examples. Some examples of indiscretion in a conversation. All right, matters taken to the wrong person. Could I say that? Matters taken to the wrong person. There's a man and a woman, say, and they're having trouble in their marriage. The man works at an office and out of frustration, and we understand the frustration in that. I could flip it around. It could be the woman working at the office. But one of them are working at an office, and they're having difficulties, extended time difficulties in their marriage. And so the man or the woman, whichever is in the office, begins to confide in someone in the office of an opposite gender. Can I tell you what that is? That's no discretion. You say, why? They don't need to hear that. Amen, amen. Can I tell you something? If you're having problems in your marriage, ma'am, if you're having problems in your marriage, the worst person you can go to is a man. The second worst person you can go to is a woman who's having problems in her marriage because she's going to sympathize with you. You don't need someone to sympathize. You need someone to tell you how to do right. Amen, amen. All right. That's a lack of discretion. Let me give you another one. Private matters that lead to unclean thoughts. I'll try to be very discreet here, best I can. Let's say there's a teen on the phone. they're in their room and they're on the phone with a friend who's of the opposite gender. That's a problem right there. I remember years ago, there was a boy, we always try to go up and hit the Heartland Bible Conference up there, and Lindsay, she hadn't met Preston yet. She was with me, and there's a young man up there, and he wasn't necessarily a bad young man, but he said he wanted her number, phone number, and she came over and said, "Daddy," said, "this guy gave the name and said he wants my phone number. Should I give it to him?" I said, "No." And she said, "Okay." She said, "Can I ask why?" I said, "I don't know him." She said, "Okay." And so she went back and said, "No, you can have my number." Amen. And next year we went there, and I guess he still thought about her and came home and said, "Daddy," he said, he would still like my number. And I said, "I don't know him." And so I'm sitting in the service. I'm sitting on the end, and there's this young man. I don't even know who he is. He walks up and he says, "Hi." And I said, "Hi." And I shook his hand. And he walked on. She came back that day. She came, "I heard you met him." I said, "I didn't meet him." "Well, he said he came up and shook hands with you." I said, "That was him?" Now, the point is, and I told her, I said, and she was, I think she was 19, 20, something like that. I don't know exactly. I lose track of that. But she was up in years, and up in years, that sounds awful, doesn't it? She was so old. I've just insulted every woman in this church right here, okay? But she said, "Dad," said, "he wants to have my number." I said, "Look, Lindsay," I said, "you can go ahead and give him the number." I said, "Here's my issue." I said, "I don't want you, I want that to become an appendage off your ear, and there's no reason for you to be talking off. I'm telling you, I don't want this being burnt up, or else I'm going to put it to a stop." And I wouldn't, you know, I was just saying, this is what my expectations are. And she went back and told him. We got back to the house after the meeting, and he called her up, and I laughed. She came down, she said, "Well, that was him." And I said, "Was it?" And said, "Yeah." Said, "I think he took you seriously. You don't want us on the phone, you know, just burn the phone up." I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, we were on about 5 minutes." He said, "Well, I better go." And I said, "Good. Amen." You say, why? Because in much words, there's iniquity. Amen, amen. You better watch that stuff. But let's take this young lady, and she's on the phone, and she's in her room talking to this young man that's on the phone. And he says this. He says, "What are you doing?" Innocent enough question. Now, you might disagree. You might even think I'm prudish on this, but I could be less prudish. I could be much less prudish on this. He says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm just laying here on my bed." I think that's indiscreet. "I'm just getting ready to go take a shower." I think that's indiscreet. "Well, preacher, I think you're a prude. Then you make sure that your daughter isn't a prude. Let's see how that works for you." There are things that people need to know, and there's things certain people need to know, and there's things certain people do not need to know. Not because they're bad or not just because they belong to specifically to someone else, but because of where it could lead. And all of that falls under the idea or the heading of being discreet. Amen. I remember years ago we were at a church, and I won't even go into what the church was. It's where I got right with the Lord. My wife and I got right with the Lord there. It's where I learned to study my Bible. And we were one of three young couples. And to just be as discreet as I can, the two ladies in the other young couples seemed to be more free with the conversation surrounding marital relations. And Sonia and I became known as the prudes. You say, why? Because that is none of their business. That's none. Listen, you know what the Bible says? Speaking things which they ought not. Discretion, I cannot tell you what a big deal it is today. God, help me to know what should be said and what shouldn't be said. God, help me to be restrictive on who I tell what to. Ma'am, there are some things that belong to you and your husband. Mister, there are some things that belong to you and your wife, and it doesn't belong to anybody else. Amen and amen and amen. And you go ahead and ignore me, and you watch where it goes. You know what you'll do? You'll spring up thoughts. Can I ask you a question? That boy that says, "Hi, what are you doing?" And she says, "Oh, I'm just laying here on my bed." How many can imagine where that boy's mind starts to go that could formulate the next question that gets way out of bounds? Amen. You know our problem is? Our problem is we're told that we're to walk a circumspect walk. And a circumspect walk says, I see some trouble up ahead. The prudent man foreseeth himself, or foreseeth evil and hideth himself. That's all into this discretion. And we need some. Amen. Homes need some. Moms, can I tell you something? Now, I'm going to say it again in a second. But can I tell you this? I'll say it my next point. How's that? I don't want to rob from the next point. Let me give you one other one, okay? In church issues, there are things the pastor needs to know, and it doesn't need to be taken to anybody else. The fact is I have had, for the years I've been here, I've had a principal rule. All right? Okay, homes have problems. All right. Marriages have problems. Right. Pastor, have you talked to married couples? I certainly have. Have you talked to married couples about their private issues in their life? I've listened to more stuff than I've wanted to listen to, and I know stuff I don't want to know. I've had guys come in. How many agree that if we sin, we need to confess our sins to God? How many agree that we ought to confess our faults one to another? I've had them come in and give me the nitty-gritty blow by blow, and I'm going, you know, Lord, I don't... I've actually walked away and, you know... I've wanted to in the middle of it go, la, 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 la. You say, well, I can't help you on the sin thing. I mean, just tell me a sin. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know the details. Good night, I hate them. I really do. And we had, I don't know how long ago it was, someone sat down. They said, now, this is probably going to surprise or shock you. And I said, I doubt it. I'm not saying that. I mean, that sounds humorous, but I'm telling you. If the stuff you knew that I've, and you're not going to know, you say, why? Discretion, you don't need to know. Thank God. I will tell you this, though, because I'm talking unhinged right now, okay? And I have to tell you that if you're here, and I don't know, and I've talked to you, or my wife and I have talked to you, or stuff like that, God has given me this great, some people think it's bad, but this is a wonderful thing. It's called the gift of forgetfulness. And I have an extra dose of it. I'm not kidding, man. I've had people say, you remember what? I said, no, I don't remember that. And thank God I don't. I don't want to remember it. Amen. So next time that I forget something, well, the pastor is so forgetful. You better thank God I am. Yeah. Amen. So anyway, issues in the church, all right, needs to go to the pastor. It's an issue of discretion. Who needs to know this? Who needs to know this? When do they need to know? There are some things that someone needs to know, but that's not the right place. I was sitting with a pastor at a pastor's fellowship one time. There were a couple of people that had left his church and come here. I had called him on both of them. He had said to me, take them. That's what he said. I said, all right, fine. And I mean, he gave me no, they weren't under church discipline, anything like that. There was no bad, nothing like that. And said, all right, fine. And so I'm at a pastor's fellowship, and I sit down. He sits down here. There's a brother friend there, and there's a brother friend there, and I'm sitting here. And he turns around, and he says, well, how are those members I sent you? Now, honestly, I think how he said it was a little bit out of bounds, all right? You know, but the fact is, that wasn't the place. I don't mind him asking me that, but that's not the place. Amen, amen. Listen, you'll learn something. You say, well, preacher, I just really struggle with discretion. Let me let Jake live with you for a week. You'll learn something about it, amen. Man with Jake, buddy. Whew. I remember one time I got in an elevator with him, and he's here, and I'm here, and there's a guy here, and honestly, he's got tattoos all down both arms, right? Well, he's heard me say, you know, don't make yourself a pincushion, and don't make yourself, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he looks up, and he says, tattoos are bad. And I'm sitting over here, I'm saying, where is your mother? Yeah. Good night, man. Now, what do you do? How do you deal with that, buddy, right? And I've had him say some things like, Jake, as a matter of fact, I started trying to teach him the concept of appropriate and inappropriate. Now, right and wrong is one, appropriate and inappropriate is another, right? And so, Jake, that's not appropriate. He'd do something. I'd say, Jake, he looked and said, inappropriate. Well, the fact is there are things that people need to know and things they don't need to know. And when it comes to discretion, it deals within the church. When it comes to discretion, it deals within your home. There are things that are not my kids' business. There are things that are just between me and my wife. And then there's things between me and my wife and my kids. That's family matters. That we keep that in the family. Would to God we could have some of that today, man. You know, let me ask, there's issues in our society. How about this? I say just a couple of words. Bill Clinton, briefs or boxers? How many remember it? You don't remember that? Do you remember when Bill Clinton was in and the big question became, what kind of underwear does he wear? And I'm thinking, you know what? And he answered it. You know what that is? That's indiscretion on both sides. You say, well, that was just... You know, our problem is we sit back and look at the old TV show of the 60s called Bewitched, and we think it's innocent, and now we're dealing with Wicca all over the nation. If we'd understand, God didn't say, you know, thou shalt not suffer an ugly witch with a black hat and a crooked nose with a wart on it to live. No, he said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, if God thinks that about witch, why is it entertainment to us? Amen. And the fact is I think it's just, I think it shows the lack of discretion we have. Kids today, their innocence is being robbed because we have a society where nothing is held back, nothing is restricted. It's all out there. Man, do you remember the old commercial? It's been years. I don't remember when it was, but I remember this lady would come up and she would say, I don't even know what the context was as far as her conversation, where she said, toilet paper. Remember when she'd whisper, toilet paper? You know why that was? That was because before then, that was something you didn't talk about. Now we have bears walking around talking about how they're clean. We have commercials saying, enjoy the go. You know what that is? That is where discretion has gone, down the toilet. Amen, amen. It's not just what we say, though. It has to do with clothing also. Now, I touched on this. Can I tell you this? Clothing, what's discretion say? Who should know? To whom should it be revealed? What should be revealed? When should it be revealed? And where should it be revealed? All of those fall in the category of discretion. Well, I dress for my husband, and you should, and that's fine. But where? Guys, can I tell you something? There are some places you should say, honey, that you don't need to go out with that. Don't get quiet. I'll park it. We'll stay there. I'll go to 11 o'clock and stay there. Amen. I'm right. Clothing should be complimentary. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking, you know, and this is going to sound so bad, but I really am tired of a Christianity where the closer to a bag lady that a woman looks like, the more spiritual she is. I'm sorry, was that offensive? I don't think you have to look like a bag lady, but I also think you don't need to be suggestive. You know, I have a pet peeve. I really do. I have a pet peeve. As far as I know, as far as my wife is clear in this. But could I simply ask you a question? I'm talking to the ladies now, okay? Can I ask you a question? Why would you wear a shirt with writing across the chest? And then when someone walks by and says, well, what are you looking at? You put a billboard on your chest. Is that discreet? Ooh, I've been out for a week. There's a lot of venom in here right now, okay? Ooh, I'm right. Yeah, but there's so many shirts I'd have to get rid of. Well, no, you don't. You can be indiscreet if you want. I just ask you why. For people to read it? See, we do things all... How many have seen... Now they've got these... I don't know if they're just sweatpants or if they're on pants, stuff like that. But across the rear end, they've got something written. You tell me if that's discreet. Preacher, it was fine as long as you didn't mess with my wardrobe. I know. I don't think God cares about that stuff. Well, you go ahead and think about that. But when they were going to stand before him and he was going to meet with them at Sinai, you know what he said? He said, you tell them to wash their clothes. Now, why does he care about that? Matter of fact, if I went through all the details of what he said, it would surprise you. If you're a Bible student, you know it. But there were some things he said, you don't do this, you don't do that, and make sure you clean up before you come to me. I'm so tired. When we went to Justin, we went to every, I forget, he must have had four or five graduations when he went in the military, AIT and boot camp and Sears School, all these things. Okay, I Airborne, that was another one. And I think that's an honor. I remember we went to boot camp. They just spent 10 weeks in boot camp. They were chewed out. They had to do all kinds of things, so on like that. That is an achievement. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know what, I need to dress up. And so I put a tie on, I put a suit on, and we go to that stadium. We got people in jam shorts and Hawaiian shirts. Now you can think that's just appropriate. It's funny to me that we don't mind dressing down for church, but you get to go get a wedding and watch how we dress up. And now the wedding's even going. You just come in flip flops and jeans. Come as you are, that's it, because that's what God would want. He wouldn't want to get in the way. And I'm not talking legalistic stuff, and I'm not trying to say you need to do that. I'm just talking about that. I still believe there are things that are appropriate and inappropriate, and that is someplace I had to get to, not someplace I was. One thing I regret with the raising of my kids, my wife understood appropriateness at the table, dinner table. She thought about manners. I didn't think manners were a big deal. And so my boys learned to be slobs at the table. Now, they're not now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that was really bad on them, I suppose. But she said, I'm just trying to teach them, you know, put your napkin in your lap. Yeah, propriety. Nothing wrong with propriety. I know it can go out. I know it can get to the point to where we're all concerned about, oh, no, they wore white after Labor Day. I know that. And I've never understood that, but I know that, all right? But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are things that are appropriate. There's things to say in mixed company that you shouldn't say. I mean, honestly, I just still think, I think that if you, you know, sneeze, excuse me, would be good. If you burp, certainly, excuse me, would be good. Not, oh, that was a good one. We just live in a lack of a discretionary society, and it's coming from the homes. And would you see that the context is older women? Teach them these things. Amen. So discreet. Amen. Well, let me say this. I already told you Hezekiah was not discreet in 2 Kings when he showed the princes of Babylon everything. He lacked discretion, and they're going to come take your kids away now. You have no business showing them everything. Amen. God, give us some discretion. Now, he goes on to say this, to be discreet, chaste. What chaste? Virtuous, pure from an unlawful sexual activity. That's literally what it means, all right? The word chaste is a noun. It actually means a virgin. You remember chastity belts, at least back in the Dark Ages or the medieval ages, they had them and so on, that way that we ensure that our daughter, you know, remains pure and so on like that and blah, blah, blah. Fathers, you know, dating the daughters, you know. Well, he comes in, I'm going to meet him with my shotgun just to make sure he knows I have one, right? Yeah. And I don't think there's any problem with that. But can I tell you something on this subject matter? He's not saying, make sure they do this. He's saying, teach them to be this. And there's a massive difference between what we tell our kids to do and what we teach our kids to be. You know why we run so close on the leash so often? And the fact is I don't think the flesh needs to be trusted. Put no confidence in the flesh. But that doesn't mean that you can't start trusting a child that's so... Listen, what you ought to be looking for, watch for that child to have a walk with God. Read their Bible and pray. Get those devotions going. If they don't, get worried. You get worried. That's the first thing I'd teach them. Well, I tell them they need to read their Bible every morning. Let them see you, Mom. Let them see you reading your Bible. Let them see you praying. Let them see your tears when God dealt with you about something. Show them a relationship. I was going to, been a few months, maybe a year or two ago, I have come to the conclusion the problem in our homes is we don't really know what relationship is. We weren't taught relationship, and therefore we existed. We were told what to do. We could do this. We couldn't do that. Moms and dads fed us. They put clothes on our back. But a relationship is getting to know someone. That's our great privilege as a child of God, getting to know someone. Sometimes we can tell it. Jake just kind of gets this thing about him, and I can't explain it, but you look at him and you say, Jake, you okay? Anything wrong? Yeah, I'm fine. Several years ago, he would say this. He said, I miss my papaw. He never knew his papaw. His papaw was dead in 88. Jake wasn't born until 95. It seemed so odd. He was missing someone he'd never met before. Until I realized, you know what happens? Sometimes someone will come and say, you okay? Yeah. It seemed like something's wrong. I'm just tired. And it's really not that you're tired. You just don't want to get into it. Right? And so it's, I'm just tired. And we use that as an excuse. Jake's excuse was, I miss my papaw. And I knew him well enough to know. I know him. I can see. I can tell when he's down. He tries to hide it, but I can tell. I want a relationship with my kids, but they'll never have a relationship with me until they know me. And every once in a while, I need to reveal. When I say the chinks in the armor, I need to reveal, you know, God dealt with me about something in my Bible reading today. Now be very careful. Be very careful with that. Those are your children. But on the same account, they need to see that relationship you have with Jesus Christ is a relationship where he comforts you, where he gives you joy, and where he corrects you, and where you receive the correction from him. Chase. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says that they abused themselves among themselves. They dishonored. He gave them up to dishonor themselves. I think it's a fair statement to look at a child who's rebellious and gone out and just done whatever they want to do and gone and been with whoever they've wanted to been with. I think it's a very, very right statement to say, do you not have any self-respect? You say, why? Because God made us to be an honorable individual. In other words, we're to live with honor. And he deals with the world that way. Romans chapter 1, it's something he gave them up to. So before he gave them up, apparently he was dealing with them about living honorably. That is honorable conduct. That's dishonorable conduct. That's an honorable conversation. That's a dishonorable conversation. That's honorable subject matter. That's dishonorable. That's a dishonorable lifestyle. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened is in the 1960s, late 1960s, when it became, you know, make love, not war. If it feels good, do it. And they did. And you know what they found out? They found out in the aftermath of the did. Although everything felt fine and fun and sin had its pleasure for a season, they walked away with a massive amount of baggage in their heart. Had a guy one time tell me, he said, well, I've learned from experience, and experience is the best teacher. I said, oh, no. I said, experience is not the best teacher. I said, the writer of Proverbs didn't say, son, go do it and prove me. He said, lend me your ear. Heed my words. He said, well, when you learn by experience, you really learn. I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, you walk away with baggage. Don't miss this. He said, well, that's true. How many would testify and say, I've seen things I wish I'd never seen. I've heard things I've never wish I'd never heard. I've done things I wish I'd never done. I heard a preacher this week, and he made this statement. I forget which one it was, but he made the statement. He said, I don't know what it's like to be drunk. And I hung my head. I said, God, I wish I knew. I wish I didn't know what it was like. You will live to regret it. And when you live to regret it, you'll live with it every day. Man, chase, purity. Look what he says. He said, discreet chase, keepers at home. Man, I want to get through this verse. Well, it says keepers at home. I know, that was hate speech right there. What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to keep it. I don't know if I fully agree with this or not. I don't know if I fully agree with this, so I'm going to put that disclaimer out there. But I heard Jack Hiles one time. He had a series called the Woman, the Holy Spirit. And he was taking the picture, and the picture was is that the fathers like the husband fathers like God the Father, and the children are like God the Son, and that mother is like the Holy Spirit. And of all, I described it like this for years in our home. I am a 2x4 guy. I am a sledgehammer guy. Typically, that's the way guys are. My wife is the micrometer that detects the small changes. She picks up what I don't pick up on. She comforts where I mean, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, little Evie, bless her heart. You ever have a child or a grandchild and they get a cut in their finger that you cannot see? But to them, it is a gaping wound. And they're going, oh, like this. Okay, you know what Dad says? You know what Grandpa says? Well, Grandpa says, oh, honey, huh? But Dad says, oh, come on, there's nothing there. It's all right. Just dust it off. Get over it. All right. When I cut myself and I'm bleeding, Jake sees blood. It's like, oh, you know, and he goes, Dad, what'd you do? I said, I just cut myself a little bit. And I don't care how bad it is. I was helping Josh with a leaf spring about a year ago, maybe something like that. During COVID, I was helping him with his, it broke. And I was trying to break loose something. I forget what it was I was trying. It was a nut, obviously, and I'm just pushing on it. And finally it breaks loose. And when it does, my hand goes in. And my thumb right there nails something metal, and it laid a chunk back. I mean, it laid a chunk back. To this day, it's mainly gristle there. If I push on it, it's like a deep scar that goes in. It took forever for it to heal up like that. And Jake's there, Dad! I said, it's all right. Now, I'm trying to make him tough. And I think that's good. Guys need to learn to be tough. They need to learn to wipe the blood on their jeans. They need to learn to wipe their nose on their sleeve. And this after I said appropriate, right? Yeah. Just need to learn to have a little bit of guts about them, amen. Don't get cry all over everything and pouty all over everything. But when that kid goes into mom, you know what mom does? Oh, come here, honey. She's the consoler. Did not the Lord say, if I don't go, I can't send the comforter? Well, you know what it says there? It says, ladies, he said, teach them to greet, chaste, keepers at home. There are elements in that home. I do not believe that a home is whole without a mother. I don't believe a home is whole without a father. The debauchery that we're getting belched out of Washington today is nothing but a bold-faced lie out of hell. Well, men aren't needed. You wait to the next generation or the generation after that if the Lord should tarry. You look at the mess you've got. I wish we, I mean, there. I've walked by people, and you can think, well, the preacher, that's awful, that's terrible. My wife walking by someone, and I've looked around and said, someone needs to teach that boy how to talk. Can I say this? Men do not hold their S's too long. They don't hold their S's too long. Listen, well, preacher, that's just the way, then you need to just, you know, S, get rid of it. Go on. Move on. S. Men do not wear pencil pants. Amen. Yeah. Pencil pants. Although I'm back on the wardrobe again. All right. I know. I told you, I went down to Dillard's and I've got a couple of khakis now that I wear. And I was there with a pastor in the area showing it to him because like a clearance place. And I found a pair of khakis. These were I believe these were Dockers. I mean, they were nice khakis. I think like $30 for the pants or maybe even less. Might have got less for that. They're really good prices over there. And so I got a pair and man, I've got this pair. It looks nice. A little bit more tan than the other ones are. That's what I needed. And so I put it in the closet. I didn't try it on. So I put it in the closet. I should have tried it on. And I get it out, I go to put it on, and about the knee area over top of my foot, I realized, oh no. I got the one leg on and I felt half feminine. And I took those puppies off right now. You say, why? Because men don't wear pencil pants. Amen. Amen. Keepers at home. Let me tell you something, ladies. And I'm not saying this because I think everybody here is doing this, okay? I'm not saying that. But would you please not try to make, and would you ask God to give you wisdom in this? Would you please not try to make girls out of your boys? And would you try not to make boys out of your girls? Because you're the keeper. You're the keeper. And I'm just, anybody have this next door thing? You know what it is, next door thing? Okay. It's where everybody get on yaps about everything. And I have it, but I hate it. I turned all the notifications off. Well, I end up getting emails now. And there was one. It was yesterday. I read the whole thing. Like 70 replies in this thing. Apparently, this lady had these two fawn. They're a cute-looking fawn in her backyard. The mother had been there until the night before, and the mother was gone. And when she went to work, she saw a doe that looked like mother that had apparently been hit on the road. And so she types out and she says, "They're so cute, and what do I do?" Well, someone says, "Call animal control." Someone called the Department of Resources, someone like that. And someone else said, "Well, are you sure it was hit? I know a boy that's using a pellet gun." Folks, you can't kill a deer with a pellet gun. If you shot a deer with a pellet gun, they would turn around, laugh at you, and walk away. And then one said, "Oh, they're so cute. Oh, my heart breaks for this." And then a guy said, "Let nature take its course." Oh, man, they erupted. Oh! And then about every 10th or 12th, oh, you know, this, the poor little things, there'd be someone say, "Call the animal services." I'm saying, "Yeah, call the animal services." And it's going on. And all this bleeding heart. Listen, they're cute animals. Yeah, they're cute. I'm not saying they're not cute. And then my favorite one was, a guy, you could tell the guys from the gals, you really could, without even seeing, and a guy said, "Bambi did okay." he said, "Leave him alone and Thumper and Flower will come on and tell him how to get along." And you know, that was probably better sense. I'm not telling you ladies not to be sympathetic, okay? I'm not telling you that. But let guys be guys. You are the keeper of that home, and our homes are going south. And can I tell you, look what it says. Look what it says. Let me tell you what you've said. So far, these aged women, would you not agree you're going to have a hard time teaching someone to be something that you're not? Say amen. The aged woman, verse 3, there to be in behaviors becometh holiness. So you're to be holy, right? You're not to be false accusers, not be given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that you can go ahead and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I have two things to say there. Number one, now, I got to say some things. I'll probably finish on this. I have to say some things here, okay? At weddings, few through the years have laughably said to me, they go, "Ha, ha, ha," like this, but some of them not so. "Preacher," it's the guy. "Preacher, when you get over there to the vows, make sure you put obey in there." Now, look up here for a second. And most of the ones I got it from, I'm looking at them, I'm going, "You're not going to be much of a leader." But it doesn't change the fact he said, "Ladies, you're supposed to obey your own husbands." Would you underline "own"? Underline "own." I believe in the husband pastor. I believe you've been given a vineyard, husband. You are a husbandman. And your home is supposed to bear fruit, and it will bear fruit. And it's not a matter of, "Pastor, would you please take care of my wife?" And I don't mind addressing issues and answering questions and stuff like that. But the Bible does say if they have a question, go let them go home and ask their husbands. And husbands, I can understand them actually in some ways not asking because you don't know anything. But I want to tell them, say, go back and ask him. And I've actually years I've had him say, "Well, he won't know." And I've said, "Well, go back and ask him and remind him he won't know." Are we okay? I told, how would it be if I was gone 2 weeks? Obedient to your own husbands. Let me say this to the husbands first. Many husbands, really what they want is they want a slave, not a helpmeet. There's some great, if you've never read this book, this is the greatest book on leadership. I think men and women should read it, not because, preacher, I'm not supposed to be a leader. I hate leadership books, and I hate them because all they do is they try to manipulate, they teach you how to manipulate people to do what you want them to do. That's not leadership, that's manipulation. What this book did is it took Robert E. Lee and it showed his character. That's all it did. Let me read you a few things out of this that I think, and it goes along with both the men and the women here, because the issue is you're never going to teach someone to be something you're not. The servant is not above the master. So listen to this. The end of each chapter, this is one of the books we give out to all the graduates. At the end of each chapter, it has Lee's lessons from that chapter. Here's what it says. Listen, to lead others, one must first master oneself. Here's Lee's statement, quote, I cannot consent to place in the control of others one who cannot control himself, unquote. How many mothers would agree, I am a leader? If nothing else, I just read it to you right there, that the older women are teaching the younger women. Were you teaching them to obey? Or are you teaching them to do what they want to do? Are you teaching them to have a meek and a quiet spirit? Or are you teaching them to be froward? Listen to this. A leader's primary responsibility is to think of others first. The great duty of life, as he said, is, quote, the promotion of the happiness and welfare of our fellow men, unquote. Leaders don't consider themselves first. Leaders consider others. Listen to this. These are great things. Matter of fact, if I don't know, I hope that we have a run on this book today. Listen to this. Lessons. Leadership is legitimized by success under fire. So, mister, let me tell you something. Every time you've lost your cool, screamed, cussed, punched the wall, you delegitimized your leadership. Leadership is validated. It is legitimized by success under fire. Well, preacher, I just got so upset. I became someone else. Seldom do problems and seldom do battles turn you into someone else. Typically, they just amplify what we are. Leadership requires moral responsibility. A leader is responsible not only for his own actions, but for those of his subordinates and for the overall effect of his enterprise. When is the last time, mister, that your child did something? Or when's the last time, ma'am, that your daughter did something and you hung your head because you're responsible? You didn't. You know what you did? You just chewed him or her out because they did it. They did it. But whose tutorship are they under? I've said many times a leader can delegate responsibility, but they can never divorce themselves from their responsibility. Unless you're Saul. What did you do? It was the people. Unless you're Adam, it was the woman thou gavest me. Amen. I've told the church many times, you know why I need to know everything? I don't even want to know everything. I really don't. But you know, when it comes to this church, why I need to know everything? Because if something happens in this church, it is not your name that goes on the news. It is mine. They're not going to sit back and say, well, the pastor really didn't do this. It was so-and-so or so-and-so. No, they're going to say, how could you let this happen? What did you do to avoid this? We've got children policies around here. When I was taking care of the Sunday school, every year we'd meet and go through them. Yeah, we've heard that we're going to go over them again, though. You say, why? Because this is the way we do things, and that's not what we do, and you need to know that. Because if someone blows the tires, and someone makes a mess, and someone brings reproach upon this church is going to say, yeah, but we did our best. We were responsible, at least. What am I doing? Listen, don't ever quit asking yourself as a mother or a father, what am I doing? Is there something I'm doing wrong in this? No, there couldn't be. No, no, no. It's certainly not you. It's them. Just a bad apple, you know. I'll tell you, if my wife taught me one thing, I'll tell you what she taught me. I remember when we were younger, a younger couple, didn't have any children, and when we'd come around a little baby, she just wanted to hold him, and she'd set him in her lap and looking at him, and they'd try to, you know, try to talk like they try to talk. And she would do her best to listen. And I thought, what are you listening for? I said, they're not saying anything. They're just babbling. And she said, no, they've got thoughts. And I will tell you this. She turned out to be a lot wiser in that. Well, preacher, they're just little. But you know what I found out? I found out when they were 5, I still ignored them. And when they were 10, I still ignored them. When I drove that school bus, you know, this seat over here is the bad kid's seat, right? You don't make the bad kid seat behind you. That's a bad thing right there. No, no. They could rise up and choke you, all right? So this is the bad kid's seat over here. And God is my witness, every kid on every route I had, except one route, and they were really bad. But except that one route, every kid either wanted to sit behind me or over here. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I would talk to them. And I would listen to them. All they want is they want to be heard. They want to be listened to. Well, I've asked them. Yeah, we asked them like a police officer in an interrogation room. There's a difference between saying, what's wrong? Why do you do this? Why are you this way? It's not what you say. It's when that kid realizes that you want to understand them. That your heart is, I really want to know what's going on inside. Not because you're just bugging the life out of me. I want to know you. I've said many times, Justin and Josh came along, and then there was Lindsay and Jacob. My bad wish, if there was one wish I could get in life, I wish I could go back. I'm not saying I'm perfect. God knows I am not. So please do not read that into this. But oh, I wish I could go back and give Justin and Joshua the dad I've become. I wish I could have become that a long time ago so they could have enjoyed that. I remember when Justin went off to the military and he was in boot camp, I believe it was. And of course, boot camp has an effect on a kid. He called me up and he said, Dad, I'm sorry. He said, you were right. And I said, no, son, I wasn't right. No, no, Dad, you were right. And I said, no, son, I wasn't right. I said, son, even if I was right in the wrong way. It wasn't more than probably a few months after that, he was another one, and he would call and ask me questions and advice, and I couldn't believe it. And I remember him saying this, and you can do what you want with it, and just, you can do what you want with it. But I remember him saying, Dad, you're being the dad I always wanted. And all I was doing is I was listening to him versus trying to order him all the time. Restraint is part of raising. But somehow we think restraint is training, and it's not. Go ahead and try it. Tie the dog up to the doghouse with a chain, leave him there longer than last time, and then they'll do right. If restraining is training, then all I've got to do is chain them up, leave them there long enough, and when I let them loose, they'll do right. And you know that's not true. You cannot train without a relationship. Oh, moms, listen to me. It is important that you and your husband, it's important you and your wife have a close relationship, one that mimics and one that models the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. You say, why? Because what the relationship you have, whether they realize it or not, they're going to go out and they'll do that themselves. They're going to find that themselves. And if you'd learn to have that relationship, you'd begin to understand what relationship is and you'd begin to long for it with your children. And you guys ever sit down with your daughter and say, hey, honey, how you doing? What do you mean? just ask, wonder how you're doing. You've been quiet for a while and it's been busy. I haven't had time to sit down with my wife and I. You know what it is? Honey, you want a coffee? I'd love a coffee. Let's hit the deck. Two coffees in the deck, and I don't even know what we talk about, but there's communion there. You ever had that communion with your children? You're the keeper of the home. Sometimes I wish Sunday school was 2 hours. That's as far as I can go, and I've already used up 10 more minutes than I should have. Let's pray.